Don't know how they possibly could, but yes. My name is Maureen Mulhern. Everybody calls me Mo. I have been on the Ukiah City Council for the last 6 years. Last year I served as the mayor, and I announced in January of 2019 that I was running for second district supervisor. The 30-second elevator pitch is that the city limits is an invisible line and nobody knows where it ends and begins. And also everything having to do with humans happens at the county level. So homelessness, drug addiction, mental illness, all of those things are services provided by or through the county, and I wanted to have a bigger role in those topics.
All right, and the way we're going to do it is I'm going to interview for about 15 minutes, and then at quarter after, we're going to open up the phone lines so that callers can call in with a question. And I just want to let our listeners know we really appreciate all the passion that you bring to the county, but let's try to focus on the candidate tonight and not not treating this as a forum to educate the public about the issues that are most important to you, because we want people to make up their minds about who's going to represent them. So let's just jump right into a huge topic that you brought up a few seconds ago, and that's homelessness.
Sure.
And a couple of years ago, the Ukiah City Council and the county ratified a report by Dr. Robert Marbot, who's a homelessness consultant. He's moved up in the world, and he's now Trump's homelessness czar.
And Which is interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So I'm wondering what you were expecting from that document, and if you think it needs a tune-up, if it's still a workable document for the county.
So I think that it's interesting what the Marbot report really, it brought forward a conversation that some people had been having in the community and maybe others hadn't been. And really what I see that that brought forward was the idea that our service providers should be collaborating, that our municipalities should be collaborating, and that there are ways that we can serve people and also protect the health and safety of the community at the same time. So the city council did, I believe, adopt the report and its findings. We've done some of the things in the city, like the shopping cart ordinance and updated our camping ordinance. But really, when we talk about homelessness, the biggest challenge is there's just not enough places for people to live. There's not enough places for people to be. So we have the Building Bridges Emergency Winter Shelter in Ukiah at 1045 South State. It's full every night, and we still have people sleeping on the streets. So really, we need to have some alternative types of shelter for people at this point, especially we've lost 3 individuals this winter, and that's really unacceptable as a community. So I really am looking forward to trying to bring some fresh energy and enthusiasm to that conversation. One of the things that I've been saying over and over again is that I want to take law enforcement out of the equation. I don't want for an officer's job to be moving homeless individuals from place to place. I really think that there can be a collaboration between service providers, maybe the probation department or some other type of security officer that goes out and engages with people and lets them know, hey, I'm so sorry, you can't camp here. This is a creek. This is a stream. We need you to come over here. And this is a place where you have access to restrooms or whatever type of services we might be able to provide you.
Do you think that Mendocino County can learn anything from what Sonoma County's been going through with the Joe Rodotta Trail in the past several months?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, Ukiah has been challenged, you know, especially the second district is the county seat. So a lot of the services are located in the city of Ukiah, a lot of the service providers. So we've been challenged a couple of times with the project, the problem on Airport Road, as well as a current situation we have on Talmadge Road in the airport runway zone. So I think that there are opportunities to learn what we can do as a community. And I noticed that in Sonoma County, they have these small shelters, and they're about $5,000 each. And I'm not a fan of, you know, tent cities or car camping, because I think it's not better than having people, you know, sleeping on the streets. But if we need to do that as kind of an urgent situation, then excuse me, maybe that's something we should do.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. And another huge issue that affects everybody in the county, of course, and especially in Ukiah, where the services are and where a lot of people who don't live in the second district come to work, is Measure B. And
so sorry.
One of the issues that has come forward in Board of Supervisors meetings and that Ted Williams here in the 5th District has been posting about is his concern about his perception of a lack of a plan for Measure B. And he's really worried that we can't afford the facilities that everybody wants so much. And we just lost the project manager that everybody was so optimistic about. So if you get elected to the board, you're going to be stepping into a hot one there.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, it really is true. And I think that Measure B, along with Measure V, and kind of the rollout
we have some news
of these initiatives has really challenged how things go on the ballot in the first place. You know, so... So that's really, it's really an important conversation that we have.
Yeah, I just want to give a little bit of background. The Measure B is supposed to be getting a psychiatric health facility and a crisis residential facility, crisis stabilization unit. These three different facilities are supposedly the top priorities, and Isabel Gonzalez was going to be the project manager, and she was here for... Maybe a minute and a half,
yeah.
And gave notice. We're not sure, so
yeah. So. I think you know, Measure B is complicated, especially considering you know the ballot measure went out and didn't. So sorry about that coughing fit, but Measure B, the ballot measure went out, and there kind of wasn't really a plan. And there's this coalition of people, citizens that are meant to watch over this money and make sure the county's spending it appropriately, the way the voters wanted it spent, except for nobody really had a plan to make sure that the money was being used the way that it was supposed to be used. I think that one of the biggest things is that our communities really expected that they would see a visible difference right away, and that hasn't happened. So through all the challenges of trying to figure out what the actual housing or treatment center or whatever that looks like, there still is another 25% of the funds that could be used to have a mobile outreach program where people are really going out and engaging with people, making sure that they're in services, making sure they're taking their medication. You know, homelessness and mental health are really things that are stigmatized in our community, and that's frustrating to me because when I see people on the streets, I see people that I went to high school with. Like, these are not strangers to me. And I was just having a conversation with somebody today, and they had made up a name for somebody, and I'm like, that's not his name. He's a real person. He has a real name, you know? And so remembering that the people that are on our streets or dealing with mental health challenges, whether they're homeless or not, are they're humans, and we really need to figure out how we help connect them to the services that they need.
Yeah. And I want to let our listeners know that in about 7.5 minutes, we're going to open up the phone lines, and the number to call if you have a question for 2nd District Supervisorial Candidate Mo Mulhern is 895-2448. What is your thinking about the possibility of the county working with the hospital to utilize some of their beds as a psychiatric treatment opportunity?
I'm excited about that opportunity. You know, it's kind of interesting when you start down this path and then find out that there's something else that you could do. I think that that's probably one of the quickest and most collaborative ways that we could use the Measure B funds. Also, one of the things that was supposed to happen, or we thought was going to happen, was that there would be a psychiatric career path at the college. So we actually have working professionals to fill these job slots that are going to come with whatever treatment or whatever type of facility that we get. So, you know, that's something that could be and should be happening right now. We all know that we need skilled workers also for ambulances, for psych tech, there's a lot of opportunities for collaboration with Mendocino College also to create this sort of career path. Then it's really important. We need housing for these people that are going to be in these career paths and helping us meet our objectives to serve the community with the mental health needs.
whose responsibility is it to come up with a plan and cost projections and let people know when it's time to just drop the paddle and say we can't afford this?
Oh, with Measure B, yeah. The Board of Supervisors, for sure. You know, yeah. I think the grand jury report that came out a couple of years ago, last year, about the way that things were working is, you know, we need to work together as a community, and we need to expect that our leaders, especially at the Board of Supervisors level, are really taking on those challenges and having the community conversations, right? It's like, if there are things that are happening in the background that the community doesn't know are in the works, then to me, that's a missed opportunity to share with the community, hopefully some things that can improve, especially in regards to taxpayer incentives. So I'll just use the example of the streets measure that happened in the city of Ukiah. So in 2016, we got Measure Y and Z, a streets tax to be able to repair the streets in the city of Ukiah. Well, that's $3 million a year, and that sounds like a lot of money, but it doesn't go all that far. Because I'm so passionate about the way that the community understands how the government spends their money, we have like a specific tab on the city of Ukiah website that tells you which streets are repaired and how much it would be. I think that having an open and transparent budget is really also crucial for the county. And I'm excited because the county is actually moving towards the OpenGov system, which is what the city of Ukiah uses. So if I'm elected as supervisor, I'd be able to sort of seamlessly transition into that, being able to help the community understand the budget and where the money is being spent. Another big thing that comes up about Measure B and about mental health money is really having data and statistics and achievable goals and outcomes. You know, it's one thing to say we've served X amount of people, but in what way? How many of those people were graduated out of treatment? How many people continue to be in treatment? How many people, you know, maybe went to a facility out of the county or what have you? The community should really have that data and those statistics. And I believe that it's there somewhere. And if it's not, then we have to start somewhere and, you know, look at that information and say, this is not what we are expecting. We need to move towards having these goals and objectives or these outcomes of whatever we're looking for.
Right. And I want to let our callers know that you can call 895-2448 in a few minutes to ask Momal Hearn some questions of your own. What about leaning on the college? We just heard about how the college got $1 million to expand their construction program, and that's part of a rebuilding after the fires effort, and they've got an assistant, you know, physical therapy program,
yeah,
which both took kind of a lot of work from, I mean, the state senator and supervisors and the college board. So who's going to go in and make sure that those wheels in that system are chugging along expeditiously?
Yeah. That's why collaboration is so important, you know, especially in rural communities like ours. Being able to connect to those regional partners is a really important key piece of being in a leadership role. For the last 6 years, I've been on the City of Ukiah. I'm in the City of Ukiah's representative to the League of California Cities Redwood Empire Division. And last year, I served as the president. So I'm the outgoing president. But it's so important that you have those connections and those partnerships, especially when you live in rural areas like ours, because, you know, we all lack funding, but if we can use each other as a resource, that's crucial to be able to make those things happen.
And since you brought up collaborations, what is your thinking about the collaboration between the city and the county and maybe annexing some land and
yeah.
And what can the city and the county do for each other?
Sure. So the City of Ukiah City Council actually just moved forward with an annexation and tax sharing policy and updated our sphere of influence and area of interest so that we could move forward with the county, hopefully, to get a tax sharing and an annexation agreement. You know, that's one of the great challenges I ran across as a city council person is you know, first we complained about the condition of our streets, and then we had to talk about, well, you know, we're dividing, repairing the streets with arterial streets and residential streets, and then it's like, but what about the potholes on Brush? And that's not in the city, that's in the county. And so the city limits is truly an invisible line, and there's just, you know, people right outside of the city limits that expect to get the services that people that are residents are getting. And that's very confusing for people, and I think just even figuring out how to break down those fences and work together is crucial. The second district is really interesting because it mostly encompasses the city of Ukiah with a few extra streets either way. So it really is going to take somebody in that position that can collaborate and work with the partners at the city.
What's the benefit of annexing? Who gets what from that arrangement?
Depends on how it all works out, but the benefit should be that the community benefits, right? So it's going to be one of those situations where you, you know, you go into the room and maybe roll up your sleeves and do some work, and nobody's necessarily winning, right? Except for the community.
So would that be taking on more land to build more housing? Would you then be kind of stuck in this quandary of, well, do we build on ag land, like Lover's Lane, which is kind of the eternal question.
Yeah, so it definitely is going to have to look at the land that is around the city and see where things can be infilled. I mean, obviously everybody's priority is infill development, and the city of Ukiah has been able to add 143 new units of stock in the last 4 or 5 years, but the county's RENA goals, the rural housing needs assessment, is 1,300 units in the next 7 years. So that's a big deal, and that's a big number. And there are going to have to be opportunities where we do look at where we go next. And there are a couple of projects in the county that have interesting variables from both sides. There's the Bella Vistas project, the former Gardens Gate at the south end of town, and then there was, or I don't know if there currently is, a Lover's Lane project for a housing subdivision on the north end of town. You know, I am advocating for where we can get connectability with active transportation, with walking and biking, and also public transportation. And the MTA has been challenged consistently by the community, as, you know, many people say they don't see the need for it. But I think that as we look at climate change and look at how we view transportation, public transportation is going to become more and more a priority for a lot of people. Actually, I'll give a plug. I'm going to do a tour with Don White, who offers MTA trainings. So if anybody wants to learn how to ride the MTA, there's an app, and we're going to hop on and learn how to pay and get on and off for people that have never tried it.
Huh. Well, I want to let our listeners know that the phone lines are open, and you can call in with a question for 2nd District Supervisorial Candidate Mo Mulhern. The number for that is 895-2448. And there's another city and county issue that's hugely important to a lot of people, and that's the ambulances. And yeah, the county's got one study going with Coastal Valleys, and we've got a call. Caller, you're live on the air. Caller, do you have a question for 2nd District Supervisorial Candidate Mo Mulhern? Caller, do you have a question?
Yeah, my name is Wendy, and I actually work at Redwood Community Services. But it's a question, but it's also a statement. Maureen, do you know about the program? I've heard about it in L.A., where when there's a call for, like, a problem with a homeless-type person, you know, in sort of like the kind of situation you were talking about before, a mental health person goes out with the police.
Yeah. Yeah, so I do think that the question was a mental health person going out with the police for a homeless situation.
That sounds like MOPS.
Yeah, it is a program that we could have here. So one of the challenges that it really is not funded adequately, and also is mostly in the North County and South Coast. And so areas like the city of Ukiah or the city of Fort Bragg aren't seeing the sort of see that project come to fruition. But I think it's really important that we have social workers that are trained to interact with individuals and, like I said, take law enforcement out of that equation as much as possible.
Okay, we've got another call. Caller, you're live on the air.
Hello, I'm from Ukiah, MLS, and I'm kind of living in my car. I'm not homeless. I consider my car my home. But I watched the community service people or somebody, kind of burly-looking guy. I watched him tow away three different things without ticketing, warning, or anything. And people have their whole lives in those vehicles.
Yeah.
You know, their birth certificates, all their information, everything is in there. They walk to the store. By the time they get back, their car or trailer is gone.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
But also the sheriff, the new sheriff, was talking about the homeless in a way that they're decrepit people and they got to have a problem if they're under a bridge using drugs or they're using the drugs and they got a problem, you know. But he said, but I'm not a doctor and I don't know about mental health issues. I wanted to suggest to him to at least learn enough about it. You don't have to become a doctor, but learn enough about the conditions that you're going to have to deal with.
Caller,
the people that you deal with.
Do you have a question for the candidate, caller?
Yeah. What happened to the $3 million that they hired architect to do the building work? That's way more than is necessary. There's other people that have stuff already completed. They
sure.
could just buy.
Okay. Thank
yeah.
you.
Can you talk about the $3.3 million contract with Nocton Lewis to do architectural design for Measure B?
Yeah, so again, I think that what we have is a contract for a project that we may or may not need. And so that is one of the challenges of when things are evolving so quickly and you're spending a considerable amount of money. I mean, when you talk about that $500,000 grant for Orchard Avenue, it's like, I understand that there's an opportunity to receive those funds, but also, are we going to build something that's going to cost how many more dollars? And also, we can't even afford to run it. So one of the questions that the caller also had was about people living in their vehicles. And I really think that this is an issue that the majority of county residents don't really understand how many people are living in their vehicles. I would like to try to find a place to create a car camping location so that people can stay with their vehicles and keep their belongings safe. You know, so many people in our community are, you know, just a few paychecks or a crisis away from losing their wherever they might rent to eviction. You know, it's like you have a choice of do you fix your car or do you pay the rent? And sometimes you keep your car just so you can get to work, but then that's all you have. And so we really need to work also on that and keeping people that are in homes in their homes so that we don't have more people on the streets.
All right. Oh, we lost that caller. Okay.
Do you want to go back to the
ambulance
question?
Yeah. There's two different analyses going on. One through the county, through Coastal Valley's EMS, and the City of Ukiah Commission to study that should be coming out
Bridge
right about
April.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that one of the greatest challenges is, again, that collaboration, that ability to collaborate between the city and the county. And when the city received kind of the update about what the contract was going to look like for ambulances, we looked at wanting to see better service for our City of Ukiah residents. So we did go out and seek another study. You know, I think when I got on the city council in 2014, there were, I think, 14 pending lawsuits, and there was a lot of stuff that happened before I was on the city council. One of those things was that the ambulance service went away, and we've been able to look at that again as a city. We've been able to join the Ukiah Fire Authority and the Ukiah Valley Fire Authority and the City of Ukiah to make one agency for the betterment of our community. And that kind of collaboration and that kind of relationship building is really what the city and the county need for the better of our residents.
Right. And it sounds like whatever happens, the City of Ukiah is going to be covered. But then that leads to a lot of resentment in the outlining parts of the county where they're like, okay, well, you got yours, but what about us?
Yeah, that's why the city council voted to move forward with a county-wide study. We did not do just a city of Ukiah or just a Ukiah Valley study. We did an entire county-wide study so that we can make sure that we're figuring out the issues for the entire county.
All right, we've got another call. Caller, you're live on the air.
Yes, she sounds like a very intelligent woman, and I appreciate her experience and her willingness to come over to Philo to speak tonight. I'm concerned about Highway 20 and the loss of the trees and the scenic corridors that we have in our valleys, and I want to know how she feels about forestry and also jobs, prevention. Instead of assuming that people are mentally ill, you know, that because they're homeless, we need to know that many of these people are skilled and talented and have abilities, and prevention and also taking inadequate housing is not the answer. You've got it's a larger issue. I don't know how she feels about the wage structure, but I'd like to see wages for homemaking.
Let's take those one at a time. What are your thoughts on forestry?
So I actually believe that you may or some of your friends may have been at the most recent Board of Supervisors meeting, because I do attend the meetings and talking about Highway 20 and the recent changes that were made. Maybe it was an MCOG meeting, but it sounds like that was a Caltrans project to sort of strain it out or align Highway 20, which did involve cutting out some trees. You know, forestry is an important part of our economy, and I think that there are definitely ways that we can do it sustainably and, create jobs, but also still protect the environment. So, you know, working with our partners in forestry, and there's all kinds of different perspectives that come out of, various corporations or independent loggers. But if we can work together to collaborate, I think that we can come to an amicable agreement. We are Mendocino County. We can get there.
Yeah. And we've got one more minute. You've said that you're not really that interested in lawsuits, but of course...
Hate lawsuits. I mean, we had 14 lawsuits. I mean, we still have like three open ones, but they come down.
Well, just in the last 45 seconds or so that we have, can you talk about what position you would take on the lawsuit about the environmental impact review for this wildlife management program?
Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting thing, because the wildlife management program hasn't actually been operable in quite a few years. And so it seemed like the board took an urgency to reinstate that contract when I don't believe that was necessary. I did have some alternatives to the contract, even using a local Mendocino wildlife rehabilitation group, helping farmers and ranchers protect their flocks through various things like fox lights and fencing. And there are some strategies that we could use that are non-lethal alternatives. And I think if we could look more towards those things before it gets to the point of a lawsuit, then that's where our citizens win. The reason I hate lawsuits is the amount of money that it costs taxpayers. And I don't even know how many millions of dollars in lawsuits have been wasted in the last, decade.
All right. Well, for the callers who could not get through tonight, how can people get a hold of you and find out more about your candidacy?
Absolutely. So my website is www.mo4mindo.com. That's Mo, the number 4, Mindo.com. And if you visit the vision tab, you will see not only my big picture vision, but you will see questions and answers, so that if people have specific questions and you don't see it there, please email me at mo@moformindo.com. My cell phone number is on the website, and I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in tonight. And for the rest of the week, we'll be listening to candidates in the 1st District at 6 p.m. live on KZYX. Thanks
awesome.
A lot.
Yeah, Mo Mulhern. You guys are doing a great job. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.